The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yeah, it is time for the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. Last week, singer Mary Byrne put A Stone for Danny Fisher by Harold Robbins on the shelf. And I had the pleasure of putting a book on the bookshelf there a while ago myself. I went with Factfulness. This week, it's somebody much more significant, Irish cycling legend Nicholas Roach. Nicholas, how are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm good, thank you.
I'm very good. I assume we are going to see something sports related in your choice. Do you want to give us the ones that made the list, or one of the ones that made the list, before you give us your final choice for the bookshelf?
Well, you know what? I actually don't really read too many books regarding sports. I've read a few autobiographies. I wrote Paul Kimmich's Rough Ride a few years ago. It was given to me, and I went through that. I kind of more enjoy reading to escape, or I buy a lot of those coffee table books, and I just like to kind of go more a bit on a journey rather than really kind of go through what other cyclists have done in the past.
So does that mean that you tend to read fiction rather than non-fiction?
Yes, totally. I feel that for me, reading is usually when I'm, most of the times when I'm traveling, it's airports, and I just need to kind of disconnect. I struggle with reading something very serious. This I will do on a daily basis. You know, I read the news, I go on my internet pages and whatever social media to follow whatever's happening, and I'll read some kind of more serious articles. But when I need to get stuck into a book, my primary choice is more fiction. Or if it's not fiction, like I said, I really enjoy those coffee book tables, especially when they're taking an adventure, you know, like the most epic rides of the year, the most 50 best trials to go hiking, or the 50 best restaurants in the world. Or I kind of prefer to go into that and read through and go through all the kind of comments and have a bit of ideas and kind of go a bit dreaming a little bit more than go to something a lot more serious.
Now, are those things that you like to just think about, or do you do them? Do you go to any of the best restaurants? Do you do any of the best hikes?
I actually do. And I bought this really interesting book actually when I was back in Dublin in December. It was called The Best Cycles in the World. And strangely enough, without even knowing, I already had done a few of those roads. I mean, it's quite easy. You know, when you go to LA, you do the Great Ocean Road, and of course it's going to be in every cycling book you can find. Or the same when you go down to Australia on that Melbourne coast to Geelong, is always one of the, you know, there's a few typical roads. Or back in Ireland, the Ring of Kerry, for example. You don't need to be a massive, crazy adventurer to know that these roads are already listed in the kind of top 50, top 100 roads. But sometimes, for example, this year, my little brother, Alexei, he's planning a trip to Kurdistan. And that was funny because that was a destination that was in my book. He's going actually to Morocco next week. Unfortunately, I had to cancel. I was also going to Morocco. But he also followed one of the itineraries that I shared from the book. So between my brother and I, we actually have covered some of the itineraries that we read in this cycling book.
And can you enjoy a recreational cycle? Because I would have thought, given your background and your professionalism, you're focused on the activity of getting the highest possible performance. Can you just go out and have a nice, relaxing cycle and look at the scenery?
It's extremely new, I will admit. until a couple of weeks ago, not even months ago, until a couple of weeks ago, for me, I found it very difficult to just ride without feeling pain. But I realized that I can do both. So we're planning this bike trip for the month of August with five friends. And we are going to do some significant miles. A friend of us he's not really into cycling, but he loves cycling photography. So he will follow us in the car and give us a little bit of support. And this five of us are going to go for 5 to 7 days. We haven't quite finished the itinerary in Kurdistan. And we're really looking forward to that. But it will be kind of going fast enough. So we'd be pushing, but also enjoying the scenery at the same time. I think now I'm trying to find a balance between both. Although I'm still back competing in those gravel races around the world, which are insane because they actually make me see a lot more things at a different pace than in my own terms. So I've started to pick up on riding a little bit slower and admiring the scenery and still having a balance with performance.
Now, I'm sure I'm going to regret asking this, but when you say you're going to be covering significant difference over the 5 to 7 days, what are you thinking about averaging per day in either miles or kilometres?
We're going to do about close to 100 miles, so 150 kilometres. So we're not going to
per
do
day.
Anything crazy a day, yeah. So it's about, we're going to do about 1,000 kilometres over 8 days. Also because when we looked at the map, there's not much place to stop. So we kind of have to push on if we want to get to the next village once we're in the middle of the Mongolian kind of mountains there. So, but I'm looking forward to it. I've never done anything like that before. I've done a lot of those 2-3 stage races in gravel, but it's kind of, there's always a hotel there. It's not as adventurous. So this should be my first kind of adventure cycle. It's quite new for me to go on an adventure like that. Unfortunately, I was really sorry. There was a big race next week in Morocco that, my brother is going to attend. And that was a 5-day stage race through the desert, and they organized the campsites. And this is something that I really would have liked to put a tick in the box. But unfortunately, I have to wait another year for that.
So tell us then, what's the current coffee table book that you're reading?
So I just said that I don't read many coffee table, many sport-related books, but actually this one is called The Extra Mile, and it's the book about the clothing brand called Rafa. Rafa is a brand that I worked with back in 2015 and 2016 when I was back in my Sky days, and I became very friendly with the founder, Simon Morton, who wrote a book just very recently. It was launched in November. I was invited to the book. To the book launch in London. And it's just interesting to see how Rafa was kind of the first brand that brought in kind of neutral jerseys, not all these flashy fluo jerseys or sponsored over the place. It kind of went into this kind of more fashion, trendy jersey. But not only that, it became almost like a cult where they had this significant branding where you would recognize you would be part of this Rafa club. The travel, the community that they were creating around the brands, they created then cafes around it. And it was something really interesting, but never forgetting about the performance side. And this is where I haven't got to my quote yet, but apparently there is a quote of mine in the book. But I'm a third of the way through. I've read like around 130, 140 pages, and I think it's around 400 pages. But he goes from the very beginning, from his ideas, how this literally dream of creating a brand started and how, but it's quite interesting because it goes through every aspect of the business plan, the trying to find the finance, people to back him up, the agreements he had with Sir Paul Smith afterwards to bring it into the fashion, to how they teamed up with Team Sky, how did that bring up the brand to another level, and then obviously all the way through developing new high-tech products, but also making it a popular product into the kind of fashion cycling world, and then eventually selling about 3 or 4 years ago. So it's a very interesting book because it talks from how they go and source materials, how do they think about colors, the trends, how do they build this community, but also all the business part behind it, and how do they associate themselves with different athletes to help them get better and better in terms of their development, but also performance. So I was really hooked into it. There's some, being a coffee table, there's also some very great retro pictures, but some of the more modern pictures as well, which I'll get to later on.
But it's also, it's as a business story, it's remarkable because I think they set up that brand in, what, early 2000s, 2004, 2005, and within a 15-year period, they flogged it for hundreds of millions, didn't they?
Yes, I think it's 300 million or close to that. It was insane. It was a proper success story for the founders and investors.
Is it evident in the book, Nicholas, was that always the intent? Did they set it up with the idea of building it into large scale with a financial get out at the end? Or was it a sort of a passion project that just got out of hand?
I think it was a passion project that got out of hand. But when you're investing, and obviously you're acquainted to, you have to give back to your investors. And a lot of the investors that back them up at some point also want to return and cash in. So you get this feeling that, yes, it was a brand that was driven by passion. And I think, unfortunately, since they've sold, you really feel that they have stepped down compared to when they were still the original Rafa of 10 years ago, for example. It's quite clear now, actually. but only very couple of months ago they announced that they were losing, I think it was 30 or 40 million a year in the last 3 or 4 years. So it's dramatic. So I think a lot of people, since they've sold, have the new owners have not been able to carry on that kind of brand image that was there at its beginning. Because, I mean, I was lucky enough, I wore Rafa, but it was cool to be part of Rafa. You're part of this gang and this club. You had the Rafa cafes, and people would spot you out and say, oh, this is like the cool dude there wearing his kit. the business of cycling clothing has also totally exploded, and there's so many other brands that are out there at the moment that it's, I think it kind of got lost, where they were one of the first, because I think there was other brands that tried to do it but maybe never got the finance. But it's very interesting to see that also the battles where at beginning, like a lot of the times people don't believe in you. You have to kind of try and push. And then eventually all you need is one person, a big check, and then off you go.
That's the coffee table side of things. The other one then you said you like the coffee table books, and then you like the escapism and fiction. So that's what's going to go on the bookshelf. What's the recommendation then for that fiction escapism, the number one for you?
So I'm a big fan of a French author called Marc Levy. I think he publishes in, I double checked earlier on, so I was like, did he actually write in English? Because actually I bought it in an airport about 15 years ago, and I was obviously back in France, in Nice, so I was like, okay, I'll just get this one, and then I enjoyed it, and I bought another one, and then eventually I got onto his third or fourth book, which is the one that I really enjoy, called La Prochaine Fois, which if you translate is The Next Time. I did actually look on Google earlier on if I could find the actual English title, but I think it just had The Next Time. So I'm not 100% sure. But if you go on Marc Levy, this French author, he's great because, like, for me, he goes from some very initial stories. His first books were about love. They actually made a great Hollywood movie. Well, not a great Hollywood movie. Actually, the book is a lot better. About one of his book, but then the next book was about friendship, and then this one is a bit of a kind of a more of a fantasy world where basically it's this American art collector who is in London and falls in love with this girl who is running the art gallery. But the first time they kiss, they have this flashback, and it feels they see each other's lives run through, and it seems that they've met in multiple lives. So it's one of those kind of nice romance. But the build-up is because this art collector is hunting for this ultimate piece of art. He believes this artist has an unpublished piece of art, and he's in London to try and find it. So it takes a while before it gets into the fantasy part. And if you don't read the back of it, which, because I just bought it by, because, oh, this is another book from the author that I like, so I'll give it a go, you know? And I got really hooked into it, to the point where actually, when I was learning Italian, I bought it in Italian to read it in Italian, because it was a book that I knew, that I remembered, and I thought it helped me just to practice my Italian by reading something that I already knew of.
So give us the title in English and French again.
So in French is La Prochaine Fois, so The Next Time.
And it's written by Marc Levy.
And the order is Marc Levy, yes.
Nicholas, thank you so much. So there you go. Nicholas Roach's recommendation for the bookshelf is La Prochaine Fois by Marc Levy.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.